Hi, pal. Welcome to I've Got Your Back, the podcast. My name is Michelle Sutherland, and this is a place where I want to empower and inspire you to tap into the deepest desires of your heart and discover the magic within. Hello, everyone, and welcome to I've Got Your Back, the podcast. We are in season one, all about B Corps, and I'm super excited for this episode because we have an amazing woman, Isabel Foy, that is going to be interviewed. And Isabel and I have known each other a while now, and we actually got connected probably about a year or 2 years ago now. And together we worked on Isabel's B Corp certification for her hairdressing salon in Australia. So she is based in Wollongong, about 2 hours outside of Sydney. And I'm so excited to have you on. Welcome, Isabel.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you so much for having me.
Yay! This has been so good. So I'm excited for this one because you'll notice from some of the other episodes, you know, last week we met Glenn from a financial services industry point of view. And then this week we've got Isabel from a hairdressing industry point of view. So what one of the things I've mentioned before and that I love is that any company, any size, any industry can get B Corp certification. And what's been really fascinating working with clients from all different industries as you really get to know what social and environmental impact people in certain industries can make. And so with hairdressing salons, you'll assume and true, there is a lot of waste and a lot of maybe things that you think go on from an environmental point of view that you think would be pretty bad. But actually, I've been so impressed with people like Isabel and many other hairdressing salon owners that actually are doing some really cool stuff and really making a positive impact on the environment. So Isabel, I would just love to dive straight in, and could you just do an introduction for everyone listening, you know, who you are, why you started your business, and just give us a little introduction about you.
Yeah, so first of all, just thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. So my name is Isabel. I am the owner and director of The Hair Lounge. The Hair Lounge was actually started when I was 4 years old by my mother. So it's a family owned business, and sustainability and the environment's always been a big part of our business model, like right from when mum started it 27 years ago or something like that. So when I took over, it was really important to me that we kept our environmental and our social standards like going. Mm-hmm. So when I looked at B Corp, I was like, right, this is the standard that I want to be at. This is where I want to be.
Yeah. So how did you actually, this is a good question to ask, how did you find out about B Corp in the first place? Because it's still relatively unknown. So I'd be really curious to understand, like, how did you hear about it? And what was it specifically? Obviously, the high social and environmental best practice, which going through the process, you sort of get to know. But what was it like? How did you hear about it? And what was it? Was there anything specific that you heard?
Yeah, it was something like super specific. Our hair company, Devoness, was a B Corp, is a B Corp business. So whenever we're doing any in education on their products or any of their training, they always start with who are we and what do we stand for. And I was always so inspired, like I'm such a fan girl for Devoness because their social impact is just huge, like all around the world, and what they do for the environment, but also like how big on social stuff they are as well all over the world. It's like I get so excited, you know, you feel like, like, oh my God, this company is just something else.
You've always said that, actually, like you always were really impressed with Davines. So shout out to Davines as another purpose-driven business, but also a B Corp. And it's cool because you do, you hear these other companies and you get inspired, don't you? You hear what they're doing and you're just like, I want to be like them, or I want to be pals with them. I want to be like surrounded by other businesses like them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the thing with sustainability. both like environmentally and socially, it's not like anyone that's doing that and doing it well, it's not something that they want to keep to themselves. It is just totally. The more the merrier, like come join us in this journey. Yes. Like, it's all about empowering and spreading the good word, I think. Yeah. And that's what I really love about B Corp as well. It's like, it really is a community.
Yeah, it's so true. And actually it's quite unique that, isn't it? Like sometimes we look at industries or even other industries and we think competition, but actually in the B Corp community it's very, very much about sharing and collaboration, and let's get more and more people, like let's share more of what we do so that more businesses can be better. It's not about that scarcity mindset, I would say. It's very open and abundant where people want to share.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's start with, how did you find the B Corp process? I always laugh at this question because it's everybody's like, well, here we go. How did you find the B Corp process?
What do you think? I found it trying and challenging, but also motivating and inspiring. Like it was full on. And for like, it really called upon skills that I hadn't utilized in a long time.
Yeah.
If ever, like I did have so many skills as well. But that was sort of all part of it. And I think initially, the first 4 months of it, it was when we were in lockdown.
That's right.
So it was, I mean, an amazing opportunity for me to have like 4 months off the floor of the salon where I could focus my energy on something that made me feel like I had a purpose still, even though I could stay in bed until 2 p.m. and it felt like the world was, you know, coming to an end.
Yeah.
It was really helpful having something actually to channel some energy into something so positive.
Yeah.
And then obviously, like when we went back after 4 months of being locked down, obviously it was not at the top of my priority list.
Of course.
But I think that's when it was so incredible having you, just to like reminding me that this is something like that we were so close and keep prioritizing this. And it like a good reminder that that's what was important. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. But
it was really amazing, and I knew it would be a challenge, and I think knowing that is part of it, because it's not just about being like, yeah, we do this, tick this box. Yeah. It's also looking at it in a way that's like, okay, that's not something that we're doing, but that is a great opportunity for us to grow, and like that's a gap in our business that we can fill, and that's like because of the way that the form is organized, like it actually gives you options of things that you can implement in your business, make it better and just improve and grow. So while at times it was challenging and it was a lot of work, and some big changes, like, so I changed from a sole trader to a company, accountants and lawyers and lots of things. But I think that I just have a set of skills now that I didn't have before, and like probably wouldn't have been pushed to learn if for that reason. And
And that's so good, and good on you for doing it in lockdown, because I know that that was tough, especially for business owners like you that just business stopped like literally completely. So you know, a lot of people could have just sat and had a pity party. Like, I'm sure you did at some stage, but you know, the fact that you chose to sort of take this on in that moment in time, I think is what I would say is a defining decision. You made a defining decision that actually this isn't a great situation, but I'm going to choose to do something positive and to work on this. So good on you for doing that. And I love what you said about the skills, because naturally you are a creative, right? You're a hairdresser by trade, but you are a creative. So I tend to notice this with business owners that are in the more creative industries, that especially like you're sort of having to do this yourself because you've not got like a huge team that's going to help you do it. You've not got HR, you've not got like all of these other like sort of departments or people that can just come in and help you with certain things. So I really admire how you chose to take on those skills, because it wasn't easy. And especially as a creative, because you're using a completely different like part of your brain, you know. So yeah, well done. What would you sort of touched on it a little bit there, but what would you say was like the key learnings? Have you got like maybe one or two key learnings from the entire process of just going through everything?
I think one of the big things I found was that made me realize that, you know, in our industry, in the hairdressing industry, I mean, there's so many amazing educators and so many amazing business coaches who are helping people like really thrive in their business financially. But there's not a lot about staff well-being and how do we create an environment that people want to stay in, and and how can we enrich our employees' lives, you know, by using our business as a force for good. So I felt like that was like really something that, you know, I would just like love to share with hairdressers in the industry, because I think people really want to work somewhere where they feel like they're having a positive impact. And I know in our industry we're having a huge problem like retaining people and also attracting people to our industry. So I think that was like a big thing that I was like, oh, like this is important. This is what hairdressers like, need to be talking about more, and like this should be implemented in more salons. It was also really lovely in the way that, you know, I think as a small business owner, and especially as a tradesperson running a business, which like honestly that most small businesses are, it was, I feel like sometimes we all suffer from a bit of imposter syndrome maybe. And so it was really nice going through the process and, you know, ticking the box and seeing my points build up on stuff that I was just doing naturally, that things that were important to me, so I was doing as part of my business, because I think most small business owners, their business is an expansion of who they are, an extension.
Yes.
So that was really rewarding to sort of be like, oh, like I'm on the right track, I'm doing good things. So yeah, that's really nice. And it's nice to come back to that when you're feeling a bit overwhelmed or like it's all too hard or like,
yes, absolutely,
and complaining and you're blah, 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 and you're just like, oh my god. But it's something to come back to, like, no, actually what we've got here is good.
Yeah, you know? Definitely agree. And I would just love to call out something if I may. So you spoke about like the well-being of your people, like your staff, right? And one of the things that I discovered in helping you and a couple of other hairdressers is that one of the things we focus on in the worker section of the assessment is like, you know, living wage, which doesn't actually exist in Australia. It does in other countries. But this whole concept, living wage, basically means you're paid not only the minimum wage, but what it costs to live in the area that you're living in. So you're getting paid more than enough to basically live there. So if you're living in Sydney, for example, you get paid enough to live and work in Sydney. And one of the things that I discovered working with you is that the minimum wage for hairdressers is awful. Like, awful. Like, what is it? Is it like, it's less than the Australian standard minimum wage, isn't it? It's much less. It's
not high. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we looked really big. Oh, sorry, go on.
Yeah. And we looked at that and we obviously looked what you were paying. And that's a big part of it, the financial well-being of your people, right? Making sure you're paying them enough. And I don't know about anyone else, but from my experience, all of my hairdressers have been like my counselors over the years. Like, they play such a pivotal role. That you come in and you're like a dog's dinner. And you leave and you're literally high as a kite because you've had your hair done. But it's more than that. It's because you've actually had someone as a sounding board or someone just to listen to your every problem or like every challenge in your life. Because like, I just see hairdressers as they're creatives, but they're also such an important pillar of society. And when that was taken away, like, I'm not surprised people would have struggled, because I just think you play such a pivotal role. And I think you know it if you go to the hairdressers, but I don't think it's recognized, is what I was trying to say. And what I love about you is that we had multiple conversations about this, and to the point where you bravely wrote a letter to the Hairdressing Association just to challenge this minimum amount of money that hairdressers are getting for playing such a pivotal role. And I really like to honor you for that and say well done, because, you know, like, part of you being one of the first B Corp hairdressers in Australia is and actually around the world, is that you challenge these norms. You know that treating your people makes sense, and you're so passionate about it, and you're willing to challenge what the rest of the industry is doing. So I just wanted to call that out, because I thought that was really big when we got to the worker section and we started talking about that. I just love to also comment on, you are a good human doing good things, and your business is an extension of you. And it was so nice to see you like light up when we saw certain answers, and you're like, I do that already, or, you know, like, you already did it, but maybe you just didn't have the evidence to prove it. So I love that. And I love that, especially in Australia, the small and medium business community have actually driven this whole movement. Now there's larger businesses coming on board, but it's people like you as small and medium business owners with those big, like, big hearts and minds that actually make a difference, you know. So thank you for sharing that, because I think that was definitely what I saw in you as you were going through it, was definitely a big learning. So how do you think now, having the B Corp certification, so you've been certified for how long? Has it been 6 months, longer?
June last year we got certified, so
no way. That is nearly a year.
I know.
That's crazy. Okay, so I thought it was like just a couple of months. It's not. It's nearly a year. What have been the benefits? Has there been any benefits of you gaining this certification for your business in those, you know, in this nearly a year?
Yeah, I think, we're a long-standing business and we don't need any more clients. So, like, that's not what the purpose of becoming B Corp was. That said, we definitely have attracted more people, which is nice. I think, like, on a personal level, it's all those things. It's like that reminder of your purpose and being able to, like, come back to something when, like, a difficult decision comes up, or you've got like the options, you know, something to be like, okay, well, what's aligned? And you have like this very clear map of what is important to you and what your business's core values are after going through the process. So that's definitely a huge benefit. And there's also things like, you know, like the sheer growth of your business, like as far as what you I feel like now, before I was just doing things, you know, donating here, donating there, like, you know, treating stuff to this or whatever it was, recycling this. And now it just feels like so, like, bigger than that. And I feel like that's just that growth and that mentality as well has been a big benefit. And just the connections, you know, like being able to do something like this with you, you know, because that's what's aligned with my core values and like wanting to share. So having that, like, that talking point and like meeting those people that are on the same page as you I think that's like such a big benefit. Like, I think that's been my favorite thing.
Oh, that's so good. I love that. And could you share, only because I feel as if you did get a lot of impact points, I would say, you know, you got really big impact points across your entire assessment. One of the things that did stand out was your impact in the environment. And I think, you know, and, you know, we both know, I think a large part of that is because you were partnered with Sustainable Salons for a long time. Can you just talk about that? Because there are actually a number of hairdressers that I would say don't know. If you are a hairdresser listening and considering this, that don't know about Sustainable Salons and how you can actually measure your environmental impact. Because, like I said in the beginning, you would think of hairdressers, you think of waste, you think of foil, you think of toxic products like hair dyes and lots of things. Can you just talk about that side of things, just to pick out a few things that you do and have done for a long time? Yeah,
that was a really funny thing actually, because when I sort of did a few stories on our B Corp journey and our certification, people really honed in on that, and I was like, oh, like, yeah, environmental, I mean, we've been doing that for 10 years.
Yeah.
But I guess it is still, yeah, it's all of our metal, like our foil and our tint tubes, they get sold, and then the profit from that goes to OzHarvest, which is an organization that helps to feed the homeless or people in need and reduces food waste. Our hair clippings get turned into a thing called a hair boom, which you can imagine like a stocking stuffed with hair that then gets rolled over the oceans to soak up spills.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah. Our plastic gets melted down, turned back into the beginning of plastic again. And this is all through a company called Sustainable Salons Australia and New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a cost to the business.
Mm-hmm. But
it's amazing. So we've gone and they take our glass, our chemicals, our paper. Yeah, like 95% of our waste, or I think it's 97% of our waste now that they're taking glass, that gets reused and repurposed. And they're also a great company because they, you know, employ people that live with disabilities and pay them a proper wage. And they just do like lots of really good stuff. So anyone in Australia or New Zealand who's not on that, get on it. I've also been following these salons, you know, in other areas of the world that have similar programs.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something to look into.
Yeah, definitely. I saw, because I'm in the UK now, and I did see a company very similar to, I can't remember the name, I'll need to find out the name, but it was very similar to Sustainable Salon. So yeah, go and check them out. It's just that, I mean, 97% of your waste is reused, repurposed, or recycled.
Yeah.
Like, I amazing.
I also just personally take my compost home and all that food waste from the salon just comes with me in the car home.
I love that. Like
composted,
give you a little compost bag on the way out. Yeah, perfect. But it's brilliant. It's actually, and it's true what you say, like you've been doing it for 10 years, so you just think it's the norm and that everyone does this, but actually people don't. And I think part of it is the education, like who can I go to help me make this happen? And sustainable salons are there, like they've been existing, yeah, probably over 10 years as well, or a bit longer. So they're there, they can help, which is great. Like, how good is that hair? And it blows my mind when I first found it. And even like the water taps, the eco-friendly water taps that use 70% less water, isn't it? It's like 70% less water.
I think it's like 75. So yeah, it's amazing.
It's just all these little things. You're just like, hello.
Yeah.
It just, and like, I love this industry. I think you just do so much.
Yeah. And we're lucky. Impact. Like, I think everything that we do environmentally is just like, we've had to do it. I mean, besides me taking the compost home, that's a drag. But besides that, everything that we do, it's just like we've implemented it once and then that's it.
That's it, done. So that's the way.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, changing over to carbon neutral electricity. And I just did that through Energy Australia and putting the eco heads on that you can buy online and like you can attach them yourself and then they're done. So, you know, it's I think it'd be difficult if it was stuff that you had to stay on top of all the time, because like I said, small business owners are the people on the floor making the money most of the time. So just having like a set is the key.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's one other thing before we start to wrap up. There's one other thing I'd love to call out, because I never knew about this. And when you told me, I was like, that's so cool. So I can't remember the name of it now. My mind's not working today. But basically you had a sign in your window and you were ACORN. Part of that association. Yes, ACORN. Yes. That's it.
So welcome.
Can you
here,
explain
ACORN.
That?
Yeah,
welcome here, ACORN. Can you explain that? Because I never knew about this and I just thought this was such a beautiful touch. Explain it because it's amazing.
So ACORN is an organization that support the LGBTQI A+ community. Mm-hmm. And the Welcome Here program is just a really simple thing that businesses can do that tells the community as they walk past or as they look you up, whatever, that it's a safe place for them mm-hmm. to come to.
Yeah.
That they can come and be themselves and not be worried about being misgendered or judged or, mm-hmm. you know, anything mm-hmm. like that, that they can just come be their most beautiful, fabulous selves. Mm-hmm. And that we're a safe place for them to be in. So it's actually just a decal that goes in the window. It's so easy to do. Mm-hmm. If you're a business out there that is a safe space for all people, then get on that, definitely. It's Acon. Welcome.
I love that. I mean, you shared that story. I was just like, oh, and it's again, like, the reason that came up is because we were talking about groups that are underrepresented. And, you know, I really believe, like, when you do something like that, like, we live in a world where there's so much judgment. And when you have a sign on your shop window that says, everyone is welcome here, especially this group or these groups of people that get judged way more in society than probably anyone else just for being who they want to be. And, you know, technically being underrepresented, I just think it's so beautiful. Like, I really admired that when I first heard that. I just thought it was awesome. So, yes, let's share the word on Acon because I thought it was really cool.
Just on that as well, I think I was probably late to the game on that because just like a shout out to any hairdresser or any business owner out there who might think, how do I best say this? So often we create an echo chamber for ourselves and it doesn't often, like, I'm privileged enough that it doesn't often occur to me that the world still is a judgmental place and that some people still feel unsafe in those in some places. Mm. Because for me, it feels so natural to be myself and I am a queer woman and, you know, I have a huge amount of queer friends and lots of queer clients. And it just, it wasn't until a client of mine said, hey, you should do this. Mm-hmm. You should become a Welcome Here space. Mm-hmm. That I was like, oh my God, like, of course. So you might think that you're doing all of the things, you know, and that it's just natural for you to be like welcoming and inclusive, but don't forget that there are people out there that might not know. Mm-hmm. So like, and don't feel safe and don't have those same privileges. Yeah. So looking for those avenues to actively put it out there.
Yeah.
And have, can make someone's day, I think.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that. And lastly, what would be your top tips for anyone considering B Corp certification? What would be your top things to recommend?
document. There were so many times when I was going through the assessment that I'm like, we do that. Or like, oh yeah, that's definitely something that we do. And I'm like, oh, but we just do it. We haven't written down that we do it.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like it was something important. So finding, that's probably what took the longest. It's like collating all of that information. So if you're like a startup and you're going through it, just like anything that you do, set your KPIs and just document anything that comes through that, because that's really going to help you through your assessment process. Mm-hmm. I think if you're a business that's already sort of hiring people and you are busy, you know, this might not be something that's easy to prioritize, but I would say like get your staff involved. Like if you need a new policy written up, if you need a breastfeeding policy or you want to track their satisfaction rate or something, get them to bring up what they want to talk about or get them to write the survey or get them to write a policy. Get involved, because I think one, that's a great way of sharing the load, but also it excites them and they're going to feel a bigger connection to the B Corp process as well. So that would be a hot tip. And also get yourself a great consultant.
I'll pay you later.
No, but like in all seriousness, you just made the biggest difference. Like, I just can't thank you enough for helping me through that.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. It was an absolute pleasure. Okay, Isabel, to wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to share?
Just
just anything about B Corp or purpose driven business or to the hairdressing industry or whatever, anything you'd like to share.
Oh good, I feel like it's so big, it's hard to sum it up, isn't it? All
yeah. I know,
talk about B Corp certifications all day. Just like, if you're passionate, do it, because it is definitely something that fills your cup when you need it and gives you motivation when it all feels like it's too much and too difficult, because I think we all have those moments. But yeah, it's just a really rewarding process.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you. And for anyone that would like to follow you or the Hair Lounge, where can people find you on socials?
Yeah, we're on Instagram and Facebook. Our Instagram handle is at @thehairlounge_. And we have a website too, www.thehairlounge.com.au. And you can see our impact report there too, and everything that we do in our salon.
Yeah, great. Amazing, amazing. And that impact report's amazing. So you have to go and check it out. That was part of becoming a B Corp that you did that. So thank you so much for your time, Isabel. I really appreciate you. You're staying up a bit late for this. So I appreciate your time. And thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Thanks so much, Michelle.
Thank you so much for listening to I've Got Your Back, the podcast, and our season one, which has been all about B Corps. I have got a wee gift for you, because I really believe this is going to help so many people and so many businesses. So as we know, there's currently 6,500 B Corps certified globally across 161 industries in 89 countries. And this movement is not slowing down. It's gaining momentum, and it's in momentum. And I really want to gift you a guide that tells you everything you need to know about becoming a B Corp and how to actually get certified. So make sure you download this guide after listening to the podcast and let me know what you think. Chat soon.